From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Gross.
March Madness is finally here. And no, I am not talking about college basketball. The state legislature is in full swing. Charter schools, medical marijuana, biker helmets, physician-assisted suicide, all debated at the Capitol this week. And speaking of March Madness, I'm going to talk about the bracket of shame, the worst schools in the country for free speech, and what you need to know about students' rights. Welcome to Capitol Connection. We are now in the last half of this year's legislative session. And the biggest news coming out just on Friday was that the legislature finally voted to adopt the permanent rules, and they did so by adopting the temporary rules. This had been a debate that started at the very beginning of the session to change the rules. And the rules are usually adopted by day 5 or 6. And the legislature, amazingly, spent most of the 30 days debating the adoption of the rules because senators were trying to make a rule change to the filibuster threshold to try and bring down the number of filibusters we see every year and make sure that a silent minority isn't obstructing from the will of the majority as it has now for years. And so senators, I think enough, were willing to cave. They didn't want to have to carry on the discussion any further. They were set to pick it back up just this week, but they decided on Friday to go ahead and adopt the temporary rules for the remainder of the session, effectively keeping rules the way things run in the legislature as they have been. So we won't see any changes this year. And this is important because this means that in order to stop a filibuster and pass a bill, senators will still need to get 33 affirmative votes. And that's very challenging in a body of 49 senators to get 33 votes on anything. It's very hard to do. And we actually had a great example of this just this week with LB 368. And this is a bill we see almost every year to repeal the mandatory biker helmet law that we have in Nebraska. Currently, motorcycle riders are required by law, regardless of age, to wear a helmet. Senators have tried repealing it for the last few years. And this year, they came up one vote short, just one. The vote was 32 to 12. So the bill failed. And here's where this gets interesting, though. A senator was gone and was unable to vote. And that senator was a supporter of this bill to repeal the mandatory helmet law. And he was absent and unable to cast a vote. And because he was gone, the bill fell one vote short. And what they wanted, what conservative senators wanted to do was they had an amendment that was pending that has now been canceled that would have changed the rules so that you no longer need simply 2/3 of the body, which gets you the 33. They wanted to change it so that you only need 2/3 of the body who is present and voting. Therefore, when you have a senator who is literally not in the building and they're not just present, not voting, but they are absent, that shouldn't hurt you by a senator being gone. So, for example, the biker helmet repeal bill, that would have passed with 32 votes, which is what they had. But because one senator was gone, they couldn't get to 33 and the bill failed and it's done for the year. And this is a bill, it would have changed the current law so that if you are 21 and older, you don't have to wear a helmet as long as you're wearing eye protection. I think this was somewhat of a reasonable compromise amongst the different sides. And I don't ride a motorcycle, so I don't feel overly strongly one way or another, but I know a lot of people do. And they were working really hard to pass this law, and they have for years. And to come up one vote short because a senator who supports your cause was gone, it shows the need for a rule change, and unfortunately, we're not going to get it this year. And there were a good number of really important bills that were debated in the legislature this week, other than the biker helmet law. One that I got to provide testimony on was in the Judiciary Committee last week, LB 450 from Senator Chambers, which would legalize doctor-prescribed suicide. He calls the law aid in dying. But this is a very dangerous policy. It corrupts the practice of medicine by compromising the doctor-patient relationship, and it endangers our most vulnerable citizens, the sick, elderly, poor, and disabled. And what we saw at the committee hearing was very little support. almost no one was there to support this bill, because last year there was, with the committee hearing room was full. We had hours worth of testimony. But this year, I think as more the more people learn about this law and what it actually does, there was very little public support for it. But we had great opposition. We had a number of doctors, representatives from the disability rights groups, the faith groups were all there to oppose this bill, because it really encourages the view that the elderly and those who are dying are burdens to be managed rather than people to be loved and treated. And there are many problems with this law that would legalize physician-assisted suicide. For example, states who have adopted physician-assisted suicide have overall higher suicide rates across the board. Another interesting problem, which is something I talked about in front of the Judiciary Committee, is that policymakers are often told to look at Oregon as the example of how these laws can work. But what happens when you actually look at the data and what's going on in Oregon, there are some very alarming things, first of which is the increased suicide rate. But another interesting problem that occurs from these laws is actually a conscience issue. And that's because there is a federal prohibition on federal tax dollars to pay for this. It becomes a part of healthcare, just another treatment option. And so anyone who is on government insurance has to be paid for using state dollars. So, for example, they just legalized this in California, and now California has budgeted over $2 million for the fiscal year to specifically pay for physician-assisted suicide, and I don't think that those who disagree with this should also be forced to fund it. So this is a very dangerous bill, and I would encourage everyone who's listening to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We have an action alert going asking people to contact their state senator, let them know that you're opposed to this bill, LB 450, and that you're counting on them to vote no on this bill. I think this is something that we're going to see keep coming back. I don't think it's going to advance this year, unfortunately, due to the makeup of Judiciary Committee. It will probably be voted out. Where the good thing about the senators wasting so much time on the rules debate is that it killed a lot of the days that they have to pass laws, and now they're running out of time and they won't have enough days left to address all of these issues. And this assisted suicide bill was not prioritized, so it is unlikely to be heard this year, but it very well will be next year. So please contact your senators. Visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for more information on this bill and other news from the state legislature. And whatever your vehicle needs, Walker Tire and Auto is here to help. Visit them at one of their any four convenient locations throughout Omaha at 144th and Harrison, 84th and Dodge, 89th and L, and 140th and Center. Walker Tire and Auto Service has been serving Omaha customers for over 6 decades. When you visit Walker Tire and Auto, be sure to take advantage of the Walker Tire Advantage, where you get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. And this is what I love about Walker Tire and Auto Service. They are doing free video vehicle health inspections, where one of their expert technicians will walk around your vehicle filming so you can see everything that's going on with your car. They'll explain what they're seeing, what they're working on, and then you can actually watch it for free right from your computer or cell phone. So visit Walker Tire and Auto and get the free video vehicle health inspection. Visit Walker Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you. Nebraska is still one of the last remaining states in the country with no school choice options. And just last week, the Education Committee heard testimony on a bill, LB 630, that would create charter schools in Nebraska that would give students, especially those in failing schools, better education options. It drew a lot of attention and plenty of controversy, a good number of both proponents and opponents. We, of course, saw the usual pushback from the teachers' unions and NSEA opposing anything that diverts money away from public schools, even if it's going towards helping the kids that the public schools have failed. And that's what I think the bill and school choice in general is about. And the biggest problem that I heard, there was a big rally outside the state capitol before this committee hearing opposing charter schools and school choice. And the thing that kept getting repeated was that public education is the great equalizer in our society. And that could be true, except it assumes a couple of things. One, it assumes that every public school is equal, It assumes that all children will get an equal education regardless of what public school they attend. And it also assumes that all children learn equally as well from the same curriculum and environment. And none of those assumptions are true. Public education can't be the great equalizer of our society if we get different and unequal educational outcomes from different public schools. And we know that is true. We have great public schools with great teachers, but we also have public schools in areas of the state that consistently do not perform as well. And so what do you tell parents who live in that school district with a failing school? We should absolutely do everything we can to keep making our public school system better for every child, but we should also support other options for students who, for whatever reason, don't learn as well from a public school or who live in an area with a failing public school, and give them the opportunity. You only get one shot at a child's education, so we can't afford to just keep letting kids fail through schools because the public school that they live by isn't giving them an adequate or quality education. The zip code that you have should not determine your education. That's the bottom line. That's why I'm a supporter of school choice. This issue has drawn a lot of attention in the state legislature this year. As I mentioned, Nebraska is one of the last states with no school choice options. And I think we've got some dedicated state senators who are going to keep pushing for school choice until we have more options for every parent and every child to get a quality education in our state. That's what this is about. And if you're looking for quality in real estate, call the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate team at 402-680-2500 for all your real estate needs. Whether you are buying, selling, dreaming of building your next house, or looking to invest, the Bill Black team is here to help. Let the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate team put their strategic marketing plan, extraordinary track record, and team of dedicated real estate pros to work for you. They know the area well. They have a team of highly educated, well-trained professionals. So whether you are buying, selling, or building, look no further than the Bill Black CBS Real Estate team. Call the Bill Black team at 402-680-2500 and let them go to work for you. March Madness is one of my favorite times of the year. Everyone's filled out a bracket. They're watching the game, seeing the results. But it also seems like just about every day now or every week, we're getting some story from some university or college campus where students who are maybe pro-life or conservative or are bringing in a conservative speaker are shouted down, they're stomped out and are told to be quiet. So our good friends over at Alliance Defending Freedom have meticulously put together a bracket of shame to showcase the absurd and frequently egregious censorship currently occurring on America's college campuses. And the rules were simple. They just took the actual existing NCAA March Madness bracket, and those were the teams that were eligible for the bracket of shame for violating students' free speech and First Amendment rights. So whichever university is the worst at upholding the rights of students to have free speech on campus got to advance. And so this is what they found for the bracket of shame for violating students' First Amendment rights. In the Final Four, you would have a couple of Midwestern schools, actually. Wisconsin, Iowa State, joined by UCLA and Vanderbilt, with the grand champion of the bracket of shame, a Big Ten school, the University of Wisconsin. You know, in a day of safe spaces and no free speech zones on college campuses, these types of instances of First Amendment rights being just shut down because you're on a university campus only seem to be increasing. And so I think we should continue to call out the schools and universities that do that, such as the University of Wisconsin. The creators of the bracket at Alliance Defending Freedom said that anyone following the state of the First Amendment on our tax-funded university campuses knows that the madness is not limited to March. And I would have to agree. And I think this is all just really a symptom of both political correctness and the loss of civil discourse and how we engage with one another even when we disagree. People shouldn't be just shouted down and told to be quiet. There should be an open dialogue and a discussion. Meet someone where they're at. Have a conversation. And don't just try and take away their their free speech rights just because you don't like or agree with what they're saying. The political climate right now is just so tumultuous. I truly hope that we can return to that soon, because I don't think anyone wins when we have this sort of loss of respect for the ability to disagree and to respect everyone's First Amendment rights. I think that reasonable people can reasonably disagree, and in a pluralistic society, people should be able to have those disagreements, because different people feel differently about different issues and can be very passionate about their beliefs. And that's what's great about America, is not everyone has to agree, and the government isn't going to come in and force you to agree on every issue through threat of fines or punishment or jail. And that is what is so important that we have to protect and hold on to in our country. Because as soon as we start allowing the government to have the ability to punish people for not agreeing with what the government says, or forcing everyone to think the same way, it kills our First Amendment freedoms. And those freedoms are our first freedoms for a reason, because they are inalienable rights that come from God and not from man or any government. And the perfect example of the difference between having the freedom to live according to your beliefs and not is actually through the life and story of the man for whom we just celebrated last week, St. Patrick. And of course, St. Patrick's Day now is really sort of just this day of silliness and wearing green. But the origin of this holiday, St. Patrick's Day, is to honor someone who really changed the history of Christianity. This was an aristocratic British teenager who is kidnapped by pirates, sold into slavery, escapes to return home, becomes a priest, returns back to his land of captivity to preach the gospel and share the good news. And so here I think we see, and so little of St. Patrick's life is remembered today, even when we celebrate the day that is named for him. Not many people know that St. Patrick is not from Ireland. He was kidnapped and taken from his home in southern Britain by actually Irish pirates. He was kidnapped by Irish pirates around 405 AD when he was just a teenager, only 16 years old, and he is sold and taken into slavery in Ireland. And it was there in Ireland, while he was working as a slave, that he really began to embrace his Christian faith that he had been brought up in, but something that had mattered very little to him before that time. After 6 years, he managed to escape Ireland and make his way back to his home in Britain after he turned his back on his master and fled, walking over 100 miles to the coast of Ireland, where he found a ship that was able to take him back to his homeland, where he reunited with members of his family and began his life over again. However, it was very quickly upon returning home that he realized, while he was in Ireland, there were no others there who knew the name of Christ. He sensed God's call in his life to return to Ireland in order to share the gospel with the people there. Upon becoming a priest, he went back to Ireland, back to the land that had enslaved him and taken his life, in order to offer the gospel to those same people. Historians aren't for sure when St. Patrick died, but tradition holds that he lived into his 70s and died on March 17th in the latter half of the 5th century. We also know that he often used shamrocks to explain the Holy Trinity in his 25 or 30 years of preaching the gospel that he did in Ireland, during which that time he led thousands and thousands of Irish to Christ, and was really responsible for Ireland becoming one of the most Christian nations in Europe. And for that reason, he is referred to as the Apostle of the Irish. And for that reason, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. But just as we remembered St. Patrick last week, I think there is something very significant about celebrating and remembering the way that he answered the Great Commission and shared the gospel. That's why religious freedom is so important. That's why the First Amendment matters. We must be free to answer the call to the Great Commission and share the gospel. And that is one of the key issues that Nebraska Family Alliance is dedicated towards, not just preserving and protecting religious freedom, but also advancing it so that it can truly thrive and flourish. And it seems more and more the importance of the First Amendment and what it means and why it is so core to who we are has been lost, or at least we are losing ground, and we are failing to teach the next generation the importance of our religious freedom and what it has done for America and across the world. So in response to that, I hope we see an increased level of involvement and willingness to be engaged, just even here at the local level with our state legislature and your local city leaders, making sure they aren't passing laws and ordinances that will trample over those First Amendment freedoms. So we need to remember the often forgotten history and significance of St. Patrick's Day, who St. Patrick was, what he accomplished, what he stood for, and equally the importance of protecting and preserving our First Amendment rights. And we just got some really big news this past week on an issue that has long been overlooked here in Nebraska, but is no longer out of sight and out of mind, and that is White Clay. White Clay, Nebraska, the unincorporated village of less than a dozen people, where nearly 4 million cans of beer are sold every year and has had just devastating and lasting impact on the Pine Ridge Reservation, which borders White Clay. And unfortunately, that includes the most innocent of all, the unborn children, where 1 in 4 children on the reservation are born with fetal alcohol syndrome. And there is a big development just a few weeks away from the Liquor Control Commission hearing, where they will determine whether to renew the liquor licenses of these liquor stores in White Clay. The Nebraska Attorney General's Office has filed 22 different citations against these liquor stores, including that they illegally sell alcohol both after hours and intentionally to bootleggers. And really, if you've got a town of maybe a dozen people on a good day that has 4 liquor stores that is selling nearly 4 million cans of beer every year, that's some, I think, pretty obvious signs of some serious lawlessness that's happening, which we know is the case, and also that there has to be massive amounts of bootlegging. But it appears now the Attorney General's office is more than ready and willing to provide the hard evidence that this is in fact happening. So these are new allegations that the liquor stores in White Clay will be facing as they reapply for their liquor licenses. And when the evidence is presented, I think it's going to be the end of these stores. Just nowhere else would something like what's going on up in White Clay be allowed to take place. So I think we're on the verge of finally seeing some real change and hope and healing brought to White Clay and those who've been affected by the alcohol on the Pine Ridge Reservation. It's not simply just a freedom issue or a personal choice issue. We have specific statutes and liquor laws in place that are clearly not present in White Clay. There is no law enforcement. There's no medical care nearby, no public restroom. And we have common sense restrictions on where we sell alcohol, who we sell alcohol to, and how much alcohol can be sold. And in White Clay, it's just a complete free-for-all. And because of that, there's still multiple unsolved murders. People are being harmed in the very streets of White Clay. Children are being born into broken families. It's affected entire generations. I think finally, due to a lot of dedicated work from many people over the years, as well as now the Attorney General's office, we're going to see some real change in White Clay. And for that, we are grateful. And that's all the time that I'm going to have until next week to keep you updated on what's going on here in our state, in our Capital and state legislature. I'd like to thank the sponsors of the show, the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate Team. For all your real estate needs, call the Bill Black Team at 402-680-2500. And for all your vehicle and maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto. As always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org or like them on Facebook. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.